NYYST. This is New York, Yankee Sports Talk. Yep. Swinging for the fences, knock it out the park. This is New York, Yankee Sports Talk. Woo. Christian and Chris, of course, SGR. This is New York, Yankee Sports Talk. Call me New York, Yankee Sports Talk. Record rain or shine, grab your shades and umbrellas. NYYST, you're hanging with the fellas.
Welcome back. This is episode 435 of the NYYST podcast. We're live here on NYY Underground. I'm your host, Christian, as always, joined by my co-host, Chris.
You.
And we are about 2 minutes away from what should have been the first pitch of Game 7 of the 2024 World Series. Instead, we're doing Yankee fan therapy. This is the longest we've had to wait to do it, but we're still doing it here in 2024. We're live here on NYY Underground. So if you're in the chat tonight, thank you very much for spending your Saturday evening with us. And please subscribe to NYYU and like this video while you're here. And subscribe to the NYYST podcast on your favorite podcast platform. Chris, you were there, man. You witnessed it in person, Game 5. It's something, I mean, Game 7 in 2001 has stuck with me for 23 years, and I'm sure it's going to be another 23 years before we forget what happened in the fifth inning in Game 5, where, yes, the Yankees were down 3-0 in the series. They did what they needed to do. They battered a bullpen where Dave Roberts fully admitted that he was going to punt the game in Game 4. And then, you know, the Game 5 started as well as you could have possibly hoped. Gerrit Cole had a look on his face that I tweeted that I had never seen on his face in 5 years with the Yankees. He got through the heart of that order in under 10 pitches. Aaron Judge hits a home run in the first inning, and this team is off and running. There looked like there was nothing that was going to stop the New York Yankees until the New York Yankees decided they were going to stop themselves. And as we previewed the World Series, I said the only team that can beat the Yankees are the Yankees. And the Yankees actively cost themselves at least two games in this World Series. Obviously, Game 1 with the decision not to go to Tim Hill in the 10th inning. And then, you know, people have called this the worst inning in Yankee history, the worst defensive performance in World Series history. It's really hard to argue that Aaron Judge, who can have that play happen 10,000 more times, and he'll make it 10,000 more times, drops the ball. Now, if you watch, not making excuses for him, he's watching the runner. That's how the play happens.
Which I don't understand. Anyway, he's at first.
What does he care? Once you catch the ball, if he's too far off of first, then throw it. Security out there. And then later on in the inning, the ball's hit to Volpe. Okay, not the easiest play in the world, but you got to get the ball to third base. You have to hit Jazz there. And then credit Gerrit Cole. This is how you know Gerrit Cole is on his game. Bases loaded, nobody out. Gets the first strikeout. Gets Ohtani strikes out Shohei Ohtani. Mookie Betts is up. Hits a weak grounder to Anthony Rizzo. Bases loaded, nobody out. After two crucial errors, the Yankees are going to take a 5-0 lead into the bottom of the fifth inning. Nobody decides they want to cover first base. A run scores. And then, yeah, you know, normally I agree with a lot of people that say Cole still got the ball in his hands. He can still control the situation, get Freeman out or get Teoscar Hernandez out. But at some point, man, how can you continue to ask a pitcher to run that gauntlet? Freddie Freeman just muscled one into center field. I mean, he was the well-deserving MVP. And then Teoscar Hernandez hits one over Judge's head, tie game. And even though the Yankees did rally for another run there, you figured that the Dodgers were going to find a way to win the game, and they did. And they are the world champions. But it's tough, man. I mean, it's we said that if there was a game six, we would have forced ourselves to record on Halloween night. But we said, let's not sit and be in misery on a night that's really about our kids. Let's have them have their fun. We'd come back and record Friday. Obviously, you know, something came up for you on your end, so we pushed it back to Saturday. And we're still here. We're now, you know, going on three full days removed from this. And I don't know if speaking about this kind of gets the boulder off her shoulder or what, but it still stings, man. It still sucks. This is again, 2001, different. We were in the ninth inning with Mariano Rivera on the mound with a lead. Get it. Yankees down 3-1. I don't know if this is worse, but it's right up there.
I have a different perspective. I was lucky enough, blessed enough, to have the opportunity to take my 7-year-old son to a World Series game, which, you know, if I got handed tickets to Game 5, and this is when the Yankees were down 2-0 at the time. I just needed one win. And I said it over and over again. I don't know if I'd be able to forgive this team if they didn't give me that win, and they did. And so I went into Game 5, obviously with a different perspective. I mean, just not even stepping into the stadium, just walking up to the stadium and seeing World Series Game 5 on the outside of the stadium banners. It was just something that gave me chills. Walking into it's an experience I never thought I'd have, let alone being able to share it with my son, who is just so unbelievably obsessed with this team now. They didn't win a World Series, but for me personally, this was the most special postseason I've ever had. I mean, this kid watched every single pitch with me, and I got to step into that stadium, and I got to experience a World Series. And for that, I will forever be grateful to the Yankees for giving me that Game 5. And so it's typically in years past, I'd be really angry. So the anger is not really there, but man, I can't shake it. I can't shake what I'm feeling in it. You know, at that point, what I kept saying was the fact that I was able to get into that building and experience that, it didn't matter win or lose. I was always going to be grateful. I'll always step away from that night saying it's one of the greatest nights of my life, and I'll never, ever forget it. It'll be a memory that I never, ever forget. But now it's just for two reasons. The first reason being the obvious. I'll never, ever, ever forget celebrating with my son and everyone in that section when Judge hit that home run. And then Stanton and Jazz right after Judge. And Cole looking dominant, man. It was just something I can think of over and over. And it'll always put a smile on my face. And then the fifth inning. I'll tell you what it was like being there. Who was it that he let on first base to start the inning?
I have to go back and look.
I can almost think of it, and I, for some reason, can't right now. But anyway, he lets the runner on first.
Oh, Kike Hernandez.
It was the first base hit of the game.
Yeah, Kike Hernandez let off the inning with a home run.
And you're a little nervous because the inning before, he's starting to get hit a little hard. Judge makes one of the greatest catches you'll ever see.
Yeah, and he was getting a little wild. I think he walked two of the last three batters he had faced going into the fourth inning, right, as well. So
So you're starting to sit on the edge of your seat. And then an easy liner to Judge. And I'll tell you what it was like, man. I had my eye on the ball. And as that ball hits Judge's glove, the entire section starts cheering and going crazy. And I'm sitting there with my hands on my head, and I have to tell everyone around me, he dropped the ball. Because in the World Series, man, every little thing, every little catch, the entire stadium erupts. And so people, that catch is so easy and made 1,000 out of 1,000 times that they don't even wait to see that he makes the catch. The entire section erupts. And I'm the only one sitting there going, guys, he dropped the ball. And then he throws it in, and you're thinking, please, God, just get him out. And he doesn't. And that's when we start texting and saying, this could be it. Something like that. And then the rest is history, man. You know, we can talk until we're blue in the face about whose fault it was, Judge or Rizzo. And at first I wanted to blame, Cole or Rizzo on that one play with Betts. And at first, I wanted to blame Cole immediately. And let's just get something straight here. Even if it is Cole's fault, shut the fuck up if you're blaming this guy that much. Do you know what he did for you? Do you know what he did for this fucking team? And I'm the last person to defend Gerrit Cole like that. I don't get defensive for Gerrit Cole. I don't. There's a lot of things he does that I don't really care for. His behavior on the mound sometimes really annoys me. But shut your fucking mouth if you want to sit here and say that him not getting off the mound is the reason why they lost and they shouldn't pick up his option and all this shit. You're a fucking moron. I'll tell you that right away. Because this guy came out there and fucking shoved. This guy gave you everything that you want out of a pitcher in the World Series. Everything. And then, when you think he should be done, he comes back out for 2 more innings.
Yeah, that's a key underrated thing that nobody talked about, is that if he would have been taken out after the 5th inning, nobody blinks an eye at it, and he gave the Yankees 5 more outs.
Right. And I'm sorry, I'm not sitting here saying don't blame Cole for that play. I don't know, it's a very odd play. And I've played first, I've pitched as a first baseman. That play's really difficult to come in on, like everyone's saying Rizzo should have. But you can make and just as much of an argument that Rizzo needs to pick up that ball and run to first. As you should. And at the same time, I mean, Gerrit Cole said he was going after the ball, and that's what kind of rerouted him. But at the same time, Gerrit Cole has to be running to first base.
They're both at fault.
Well, yes.
They're both at fault here. But anybody that, you know, I saw somebody in the chat earlier when I was going through the innings said, don't do that. It's to me, because everybody knows I'm the Gerrit Cole guy. Listen, if there's no excuses when it comes to the World Series. Everybody has to be on top of their game and make every little play. That's the reason why the Yankees aren't playing a game 7 right now. That's why the Yankees weren't even in a position to lock up a World Series last night. Because if you really want to break this thing down here, the Yankees, at worst, if they played fundamental baseball better, should have been in a position to win a World Series last night. And they weren't, because they don't play good fundamental baseball. And their flaws were exposed not only on the field, but in the dugout, meaning Aaron Boone, in this series. And we'll get to something that I want to get to a little bit later on. Let me just read Kyle Malay's super chat. Thank you, Kyle. Yankees need to stop playing New York after losses, especially after losing the World Series. I don't know why they do that. They used to play Liza Minnelli, and then she got mad at it after they lost. She didn't want to be associated with the losing. Just don't play anything. There should be no celebrating. There should be no sing-alongs or anything
Disagree.
Like that after. Oh, really?
Yeah, I do.
That song should be reserved for when you're happy.
Nope.
Okay.
It should be reserved to celebrate the game of baseball, and if they can't fucking win, then that's on them. I'm sorry. Stop bitching about the fucking song.
I don't think. No, listen.
Sorry, Kyle. It's not against you, Kyle. Actually, I'm bitching about, because I'm watching, and this has nothing to do with you, Kyle. Sorry.
It has everything to do with you, Kyle. You brought it up. You
no, Kyle. It, okay? It's a personal thing, and I'll tell you why I'm getting so emotional. Because I'm sitting there slumped in my seat, and I'm watching the Dodgers celebrate on the field. And there's some fucking idiots. All they care about is the music playing. All they cared about was stop playing the music. Shut the fuck up. Your team just embarrassed themselves on their home field. No, let him play it. Let it soak in. Feel some fucking pain. Let's sit there and feel some misery for once. I'm sick of this organization just wanting to brush everything under the rug. Feel some fucking pain, man. You know how much more it hurt to hear New York, New York, as the fucking Dodgers are celebrating on your field? Maybe that will fucking get Aaron Judge in the clubhouse and say, remember that for the rest of your lives. No, let's feel some fucking pain, man. We're not here to fucking make everyone happy. Feel the pain. Play New York, New York. Play it louder when we lose. I'm sick of fucking losing.
I'm letting you go there, pal. You done?
I'm good. Again, it was just a moment of like, how could you not just be in shock of what you're looking at, and instead you're worried about a song? Maybe if we stopped worrying about things like songs, we'd be worrying about the things that actually matter.
Yeah, I get it, bro. But people don't want to hear what is supposed to be.
I don't care what people want to hear, though.
Song after you just got embarrassed on your home field again.
Guess what people really don't want? They don't want to get embarrassed on their home field.
Well, that's not anything that we can control.
Guess what? Yeah, you can.
Yeah, okay, really? How?
Yeah. You can, and you know how.
Well, you're the one that went to the World Series game, okay? Stay home. Don't go to the games.
True. But I'm also not the one bitching about it.
It's not that big of a deal to me. I wish they wouldn't do it, but if they continue to do it, I'm not going to lose sleep over it. I would prefer to hear that song only after they win.
Feel the pain. That's all I'm saying.
Ernest hates you right now. He says, nice. Playing New York, New York is not a celebration of baseball. That's a stupid, overheated, angry take. Shut the fuck up. Take me out to the ball game is a celebration of baseball. Do you want
to? No, I think he's talking. I think he's agreeing with me.
No, you said.
I said it's not a. Oh, okay. I did say.
You said that was a celebration of baseball.
Yeah. Nice. Good for you, man. Good for you.
You want? He's also not American. There, that's British pounds, I think.
Nice.
I don't know what's the conversion rate on that.
I don't know. Convert it right the fuck back to him.
But
just kidding, pal. Thank you, Ernest. I don't care.
Back to Gerrit Cole here. You know, everybody's got to just dart, just go, get to first base. I'd rather have an error made because there's two guys standing at first base than an error made because nobody's standing at first base.
But did you understand what Gerrit Cole was saying? And again, I'm not trying to defend him here, but it makes sense that he said he was late.
Well, also, I understand that this guy just fucking pitched his ass off to get to that situation, and that maybe he's not thinking as clearly as he would have had it been, you know, he didn't have to get six outs in that inning.
Fine, but my point is, I thought it was late.
Listen, stop. If anybody's in the chat right now saying you want Gerrit Cole gone, go watch another podcast, please. Get the fuck out of here.
Listen, calm down.
No, I'm not going to calm down because now we lost, so now the irrationality is going to come out here, okay? Because nobody's going to take Gerrit Cole to task more than I am because of how much I love and respect this guy for when he screws up. Because even I got heat for the way I went after him when I was sitting in right field watching him do this bullshit with Rafael Devers, okay? I lost a lot of respect for him that day. You know when I gained it all back for him? When he did everything that we ever wanted from him in the World Series this year. That's when I gained it all back from him. You can't ask a guy to go out there and get six outs. I don't care who the fuck it is. He's going to give it up at some point, especially against that lineup. You want him gone Please, there's so many more other problems on this baseball team than Gerrit Cole right now. If anything, Gerrit Cole should be one of the guys that you should want and be begging and hoping that the Yankees are going to do the right thing here and pick up that option. Give me a fucking break, you want him gone.
You good?
No, I'm not good, man, because I'm sick and tired of this shit. This team, as flawed as it is, was in the World Series this year. Now we're just going to pretend like that didn't happen. And I'm not saying that this team doesn't need to make improvements. This team doesn't need to clean up the flaws. They were the worst base running team in baseball this year. You all saw the scouting report the Dodgers had on them. Just press them. They'll make mistakes. And they did. I'm not saying that doesn't need to be cleaned up. But if it is, but even with all that, this team made the World Series this year. This team won their first pennant in 15 years. And we're just going to pretend like it's all garbage? Like, excuse me, like Gerrit Cole's part of the problem? No, I'm not going to sit here and do that. I'm not, because I think the problems here, we got to start looking at what are the problems and what aren't the problems.
So just to go back to that play real quick, and here's the downside of being at a game live. Sometimes you can't see every little thing, obviously. And from my perspective, it looked like Gerrit Cole was just walking off the mound into the dugout thinking it's just an easy play. But then you go back and watch the replay, and you do see him almost go after the ball real quick. And once he does that, so when a pitcher is coming off the mound like that, he's making a certain taking a certain angle to first base. If he's going after the ball, even if for a second, it reroutes him. And I can understand where he's coming from. My point is, I'm not saying he's off the hook. My point is, I thought it was laziness at first. And that's why I was upset.
All right, can I get to...
But it wasn't.
Ernest is back with another super chat. He said, 10 pounds is 1290s. You guys don't know nice. Pain. Pain is when Astros cheat their way to a championship. I'd rather lose with mistakes than cheating. Yes, I'm still more mad than you guys. Cheerio. Bro, do you think we just fell out of a fucking coconut tree this morning and started this podcast? We've been here since 2017. We covered that fucking ALCS. Give me a break, dude. I can't right now, bro.
We got too much to fucking unfold to even think about that.
Yeah, come on. We don't know pain. What do you think, dude? This is our first rodeo here? This is the first show we've ever done? Come on now. I just don't think that I have a different take on the 2017 ALCS than a lot of people do. But it doesn't mean that we weren't here. We didn't just start watching baseball last week. Yeah. Look, I get the look, going back to that play, it did look like he just gave up on it at one point. But again, like I can't sit there and tell you that I know what was going through his head. I know he tried to explain it. It's tough, man. It's tough. You gotta ask a guy to be there mentally and physically after he just did what he did in that inning. The Yankee defense gave that Dodger team an extra two outs before that play even occurs. He strikes out the nine-hole hitter. He strikes out Shohei Ohtani. And then he gets another MVP in Mookie Betts, and he's thinking he's out of it. It's hard to sit there and comprehend what emotional attacks that just went through him, knowing that he had to be perfect in that situation for the Yankees to win the game. And he was. Except for then he had a mental gaffe. Because whatever it is, he has to get the first base. Just like Rizzo has to get the first base.
I personally think Rizzo can make that out.
I think if Rizzo darts for first base immediately, he gets Mookie Betts.
Yes. It's not a question to me. But I also think, Cole, sometimes we get caught up on...
There it is.
Nice.
Pete, what do you do when we're recording, buddy?
Yeah, dude, I think he just listens to that. look, We could sit here all night and just keep going over this play and this inning and everything. It doesn't matter. It's over. It doesn't matter whose fault it is. But there is one thing that does matter.
Oh, Pete said that is an alert for a new sub.
Oh, nice. I didn't know that. So here's one thing that does matter. What Gerrit Cole did in this World Series. He gave up one fucking run in 12 and two-thirds innings.
Yeah, that's
one run.
Did. That's what he did.
In 12 and two-thirds innings against an offense that is a juggernaut. That's what matters. That is what matters. We can blame him for that play. All right, fine. For argument's sake, it's Gerrit Cole's fault, and guess what? I still don't give a fuck. Because your superstar center fielder can't drop that ball. And your shortstop, who we've started to fall in love with, has to make a clean throw to the third. Those things have to happen. But one thing that you can't deny is that Gerrit Cole was an absolute ace when you needed him the most. And this team lost both of those games. And that is unacceptable and unforgivable.
If I would have told you, the only thing that I can guarantee you in this World Series before game one started is that Gerrit Cole was going to allow one earned run in 12 and two-thirds inning, you would have thought the Yankees at least won two games in this series.
And then imagine they only win one. It's not even one of those games. Wild.
So, you know, they lose. And think of how they lost on two sack flies. They got the tying run after the Yankees went up 6-5 and the go-ahead run on sack flies. Fundamental baseball. Mookie Betts, you would have thought Mookie Betts parked one 500 feet with the way he was celebrating that sack fly, because you want to know why? He knew he did his job. He knew he did his job. That's all he wanted to do. And he did it.
So I think this might be just a good time to slip this in. I saved this.
Is that what you say to your wife?
Yeah. That's why I have three kids.
Okay.
So obviously five games were played, right? Dodgers won 4, Yankees won 1. Have you seen this graphic or no?
With the stats?
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw it. The only thing the Yankees did was that I think it was that they scored one less run than the Dodgers.
One less run. The Dodgers scored 25 runs. The Yankees scored 24.
Everything else the Yankees had the
batting average. Batting average. Yankees 212 to Dodgers 206. Home runs. Yankees 9 to Dodgers 7. Here's what kills me the most. This was the knife that goes into your chest and just spins for days. Average runners in scoring position, both not really great. But guess what? The Yankees had the upper hand for once. What has been the Yankees' bugaboo in the postseason? Hitting with runners in scoring position. The Yankees hit 200. The Dodgers hit 184. I'm not taking anything away from the Dodgers, man. Because just on its face, that roster, that lineup is just so good. And good for them. They deserved it. They capitalized. But two things can be true at once. The Yankees handed them a lot of extra outs. And the Dodgers are a great team. You cannot hand great teams extra outs. And they capitalized every single time.
Yeah, that's basically what it comes down to. We said the Yankees had, when we previewed this World Series, we said the Yankees had to play an A-plus brand of baseball to beat the Dodgers, and I think they ended up getting left back a grade. That's how poorly they played. So, I mean, now we have to pick up the pieces and move on here. You know, I don't know how you feel about this, but I look at this season a lot differently because it had been so long since we had gotten to a World Series. Is it a failure?
Yes.
Yeah, it's a failure that they didn't win it all. And it's a failure that they lost in the manner that they did.
Right.
But to say that this is a total failure, I'm not there, because this team did something they haven't accomplished in 15 years. A lot of you guys are acting like these World Series appearances just grow on trees, and we know that they don't. So we don't know, especially if Juan Soto is not coming back, we don't know when the next time this team will get here. So I'm always going to appreciate that.
Yeah. I thought about this a lot today. I knew we were coming on here. So when we talk failure in baseball, it's different than real life. Like, it's different than everyday life.
You know, anybody that this guy's in the chat saying they were due to make a World Series. They were due to make a World Series like 5 years ago, and they didn't do it. Okay. So like, there's no due. There's no, oh, they should. No, they got here after years and years of failure. They got here. So I don't know. Maybe you guys don't want to appreciate that. You guys don't want to at least put that in your pocket. That's fine. That's your prerogative. But after 15 years and of falling short, I'm going to appreciate the fact that they at least got here this year.
Yeah.
I'm not happy that they lost. I'm especially not happy in the way that they lost. That's where the season ends up a failure.
Yeah. So I'll try to articulate this as best I can, but here's what I thought about today. Failure, when we talk about a baseball season, is a different context than failure in everyday life. So that's why people are like so hesitant to say it's a failure, because there were so many successes along the way. But ultimately, there's one goal that every team needs to have. If you don't have this goal, then you're in the wrong industry. And if you don't reach this goal, it's a failure. And the goal is to win everything, to win the World Series. And if you don't reach that goal, it is a failure. You have failed to reach your goal. That does not mean that there hasn't been successes along the way. This is 6 months. This is a whole look, one thing I said to you, I forgot how exhausting a full postseason is. Like, I'm used to being out of this pretty early. I mean, even in 2022, they made the ALCS, but it was pretty boring. There wasn't any time you had hope that this team was even going to win a game. Like, this took a lot out of me, man. I'm grateful for it, but it was a lot. There's a lot of successes along the way to that failure, and that's okay. Was it a failure? Yes, they did not win the World Series. Every single year, there's going to be 29 failures and one success, and that's okay. We can still have that mentality and also be appreciative and say there were successes along the way. For me, I'm a little different than a lot of people. Winning a pennant to me is very prestigious. Winning a pennant means something to me.
Not next year, it won't. If they get back next year and don't win a World Series, it's not going to mean as much.
Fine. It might not mean as much, but I'll always take a pennant. I'm not saying I'll take a pennant and be okay with it. What I'm saying is winning a pennant is difficult, man. Winning a pennant is something that we probably took for granted when we were younger. Like you're saying, World Series appearances don't grow on trees. Saying this season's a failure does not mean there wasn't successes along
the
way.
Since 2004, this is the second World Series the Yankees have appeared in.
I know. What do you mean since 2003?
Well, I'm not counting. I'm saying they got there in 2003.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Gotcha.
So since 2004, the Yankees, in 20 years, the Yankees have made two World Series. Two.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yep. With teams that you can maybe argue were better than this year's team.
So you can't sit there and tell me that it's a complete it's a failure because they didn't achieve their ultimate
goal. That's what
I'm
saying.
It's a failure because this team puked all over themselves in the World Series. That's why it's a failure. But to sit there and say that this season was a total failure, you're one of the last two teams standing. You haven't been here in 15 years. You have at least...
That means something.
That means something. And that's why, to me, this team doesn't need to be blown up sky high and just rebuild it from scratch and say, we don't need Cole. We don't need Soto. Let's try to get rid of... No, we're not. We don't need to do any of that. You need to look at what the Dodgers blueprint is and clean up your mistakes. That's why you look at Dave Roberts, right? Look at Dave Roberts here.
Hate his guts, but keep going.
Total cuck of a manager.
Is he?
He isn't. Yeah, no, he is. He's exactly what you hate Aaron Boone for being a
really.
Cuck.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
Being a cuck to all the numbers, to the GM, to ownership. Right? You want to know the differences?
Up you won three, a World Series.
Well, that and up 3-0 in the World Series, his team's taking infield, outfield before the game.
And the Yankees don't.
He's got his team out there working on fundamentals in the World Series.
But wait, hold on. The Yankees don't.
Do they?
I don't know.
Well, see, it's hard to. I'll be fair. I'll say it's hard to tell because usually Yankee batting practice is not open to the public because they don't open the gates in time.
They but, used to when we were younger.
Yeah, they don't do it anymore. But you can see that they hold fundamentals in a high regard in L.A. where they don't really. It's not a big deal to the Yankees. And that's what was in that Dodger scouting report is that they. And I got to know we got a couple super chats. Just let me finish this thought. Is that they said the Yankees are trying to get by on talent over fundamentals, which is as fucking crazy as it is. They almost did it.
Yeah, that's something I think after you get to the super chats, I don't know what else you have in store here. This is like our therapy episode where we just kind of lay it all out. But I really think we need to go a little bit deeper into that scouting report. That's what's haunting me. More than anything, I think.
So we got Mustache Griffey here. Number 28 is always the matter. Is always the goal. I don't give a fuck. Do it. Yes, that's obviously always the goal. Not saying it's not. I don't want anybody to twist my words here. That's always the goal. I'm not. I don't feel good that the Yankees lost the World
Series. No.
Not at all here. It's just that I'm not going to sit here and say that this was a year that I won't remember. I'll always remember 2024, especially if they don't get back for another 15 years, which who knows? Who really knows right now as we sit here and record on November 2nd what the future holds for this team? And Vladdy P says, hey, guys, can you give me a realistic offseason? Who do they sign if they don't re-sign Soto as well? If they don't, who would you sign and trade for? Vladdy, not to dismiss your question, we got a long way to go, man. There's a whole offseason of what we want to do and what we're not going to do. And really, it begins and ends. And I'll just say this. It begins and ends with Juan Soto. There really is no plan B. There was no when Juan Soto's name, we were pushing Juan Soto, trade for Juan Soto, and it became a realistic thing that the Yankees were going to go after Juan Soto last year. There was no plan B, right? We said that. There's no plan B. Just like this year, there's no plan B. John Heyman, this dope, today said that the Yankees' plan B would be to sign Pete Alonso. That's not a fucking plan B. That's not a consolation prize for losing Juan Soto, Pete Alonso.
No. Yeah, just out of respect for and thank you for the super chat. Just out of respect of the super chat and wanting to answer somewhat of your question, Christian's right. I mean, we can go in, we'll go into detail over the upcoming weeks of, you know, what this team needs to do. But the conversation starts and ends with Juan Soto. I can't see this guy in another uniform for the rest of his career.
And Ernest, again, Ernest, you know what? You've been a little controversial tonight, but you just drop in the chats left and right. So thank you. Re-sign Soto, get reps for Jazz back next year. And, you know, I guess that's something that we could talk about. Maybe next week, because next week's going to be week one of the keep 'em, dump 'em, something that we do every off season here. And I guess when there's a lot to talk about regarding this infield, which I don't really want to get too much into today, but obviously we need a new first baseman. Probably going to, and then really you look at it, do the Yankees need a second baseman or do they need a third baseman?
Right.
It's like, where are they going to, is Jazz your third baseman or are they going to move Jazz to second?
Well, yeah, we'll just leave it at that.
So, I don't know. Did you have something you wanted to say before I move on here?
No, the only thing I said was about that scouting report. It just was a fucking dagger, man. If things weren't bad enough, that leaked scouting report was just everything. I mean, as a fan, here's what it is. As a fan, and I'm not saying you're not a true fan if you don't watch 162 games, But if you're a fan like us who watches every pitch of 162 games, and then you are tasked with writing the scouting report that the opponent would put together for your team, it was everything that you would put in a scouting report. And reading it, because like the Yankees will gaslight us a lot, right? So reading the scouting report, what it did was it validated everything.
You want me to read it?
I would like you to. Yeah, let me just finish this point. Reading this scouting report validated everything. Like, you might sit here after game 61 or whatever and be like, man, it seems like the fundamentals of this team are just off. But maybe it's just me. I don't know. Maybe I'm being an irrational fan. Maybe this, maybe that. But you read this scouting report, man, and it's the dagger. Because every single one of us could have written this scouting report.
All right, so what it says here is what the Dodgers told their players in scouting meetings was that the Yankees were talent over fundamentals, that if you run the bases with purpose and aggression, the Yankees will self-inflict harm, as was exposed by Betts, Tommy Edman, Freddie Freeman, etc. The value was very high to put the ball in play to make the Yankees execute. They mentioned that the Yankees were not just the majors' worst base running team by every metric, but the difference was vast on the field between them and the Padres, who the Dodgers beat in the NLDS but were impressive in this area. They were thrilled at how short the Yankees' leads were at first base to potentially be less of a threat to pivots at second, where Gavin Lux does not excel. They said their metrics had the Yankees as the worst positioned outfield. They were amazed at how many times relay throws came skittering through the infield with no one there to take charge, and how often Jazz Chisholm was out of place or just standing by while a play was in action.
If watching the fifth inning of game five wasn't bad enough, and then you just look and it's like that was their game plan, man. Put the ball in play. Put the ball in play, because the Yankees are talent over fundamentals. And to me, you know, you gotta put a lot of blame on the players, of course. But to me, when an opposing team scouting report is that your team is talent over fundamentals, that comes down to the manager, man. And I'm sure we'll get to that in this episode, but man, that is just, it's sickening to read and hear.
All right, there's a couple things here. We'll go through them really quickly, because this was one of the benefits, I guess, of doing the show today, is that there is some roster news now. Last night, the Yankees picked up their option on Luke Weaver for 2025. They're paying him $2.5 million next year. His escalators are in his contract. They're based on innings pitch, which he will never hit, because they were based on him being a starter. So when you're saying the Yankees can't afford Juan Soto, they're going to be paying their closer $2.5 million next year. That's one way to look at it. Complete no-brainer to pick up the option. I know we said we weren't going to get into it too much. We know the Yankees are going to have to add to their bullpen, but it should be guys to put in front of Luke Weaver. Would you agree with that?
Of course.
You're not looking for a closer. You want
No,
I'm just asking.
Yeah. And here's one thing I will say. You are running the risk of putting all the marbles in one basket here in Luke Weaver being a closer, and then risking him coming out and maybe having a lackluster year. Because a lot of momentum was riding with him this year, and he kind of took off with it. I still have seen enough, though, to say he's got to be my closer, and I'm building below him at this point.
Now, normally after the season that Luke Weaver had, I would say that the Yankees should have done the right thing and rip up that option and extend him, give him three for 30 or whatever. But two reasons, like you just said, you're still taking a risk here. The guy is going to be 32 years old. Mm-hmm. Can he repeat this? So, yeah, I do like to... taking this risk at 1 year, $2.5 million. And if you want Juan Soto back. You know the Yankees aren't going to get stupid with this payroll, like pushing it near 400. So if this is a place where you can save some money, this is where you do it. So that's another reason why. Also, earlier today, it was announced that Anthony Rizzo's option is not going to be picked up, which, you know, it is what it is, man. I was stunned. I had to fact check this when I saw it. The last home run hit by a Yankee first baseman this year was on July 31st.
Didn't I tell you that?
Did you say that?
I don't know. I was telling people. I forget who it was. I thought it was you. And they didn't believe me. Oh, no. I think it was my other buddies. They didn't believe me. I had to go back and show them. The last two home runs, actually, I think were both DJ. Maybe I'm wrong about it. No. One of them was Ben Rice. And DJ was July 31st.
Yeah, July 31st, including the postseason, was the last time a Yankee first baseman hit a home run. That's just unacceptable. That can't happen. Everybody, you know, Rizzo's a great teammate. If the Yankees want, I would love to see Rizzo go play 1 year in Chicago with the Cubs, finish his career, and then come back here and be on the coaching staff. I think that would be a great finish for Anthony Rizzo.
Yeah,
but he can't. He's done here. I don't want to.
Yeah.
I don't want to see him taking any more at-bats for this baseball team.
Not done in an angry way, like you said. I love the guy.
Then you want to talk about toughness, man. Yeah, people can whisk away. He played with two broken fingers, dude. That can't be fun. That can't be enjoyable. He came back to try to help this team win. He was probably their best option at first base, especially after Birdie injures himself in the ALCS. So, I mean, that sucks. And we got to talk about this. Gerrit Cole did opt out today. The Yankees, I heard two things. I heard that they have to answer this by tomorrow. I also heard they have to answer this by 5 o'clock on Monday. But the Yankees do control this opt out here by adding a 10th year. A lot of people have been tweeting that they expect the Yankees to do it. I don't know why the Yankees wouldn't do it. I think everybody just needs to chill the fuck out for right now. For a lot of reasons. Number one, why wouldn't Gerrit Cole do this? Because it's a free $36 million when you really think about it. Right?
It's put in place almost arbitrarily to make him happy.
Yeah, I think it is Sunday at 5 o'clock. Somebody initially tweeted Monday at 5, but I think it is tomorrow at 5. So we got the data to kind of sweat this out here.
Would you kind of agree with that, though? Like, this is so expected that it's put in place almost arbitrarily.
Yeah, you know, it's there for a reason. It's there to benefit Gerrit Cole, really.
Exactly, but that's my point. Like, the Yankees have, is so long as he's been your ace this whole time, which he has been, there's absolutely no reason why you wouldn't expect him to opt out and to give him that extra year. Like, I think too much is being made of it, is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, I think there's a lot. I think there is being too much made out of it because you should have expected it to happen because Gerrit Cole knows he's going to get that money from the Yankees. And number two here is that if the Yankees don't pick up this option, we just saved ourselves a big 7-month commitment for 2025.
Yeah, don't even watch.
There's no point in watching the Yankees if they let Gerrit Cole hit the free agent market. And you cannot sit here and come up with one legitimate excuse why the Yankees should let Gerrit Cole walk. You don't have one. I'll give you here. I'll rattle them off all right now. You tell me if I miss any. They need the money to sign Juan Soto.
Okay, it has nothing to do with next year.
Okay, number one, geniuses, okay? How good are the Yankees going to be without an ace? Seriously, how good are the Yankees going to be when they don't have one of the top pitchers in baseball?
Right.
Carlos Rodon's staff ace, does that invoke a lot of confidence in his team for next year?
Also, this money doesn't affect next year anyway.
Also, hey guys, guess what? These are the fucking Yankees. They can afford to do both things. So sick and tired of that. These are the Yankees. You mean to tell me the Yankees can't afford to bring back Gerrit Cole on the same exact money that he had, that he's making this year?
Well, to be fair, I mean, this team has played such a fucking focus on the luxury tax. So
he's not. He's not hurt. I don't believe that he's hurt, because if he's hurt, he's not dialing it up to 99 in the World Series. Number one. Number two, I don't think the Yankees. Excuse me. I shouldn't say that. I don't think he's hurt because of the way he pitched in this World Series. I think the Yankees and him have learned a different way for him to pitch. And if you don't think Gerrit Cole can be effective by the way that he's pitched, by not having to have that max velocity every pitch, you don't pay attention. I'm sorry. I hate to be so blunt sometimes, but yeah, he got his shit kicked in by the Mets twice this year. He had the whole four fingers debacle with Rafael Devers, but outside of that, when didn't Gerrit Cole pitch like an ace this year?
Yeah.
When didn't he?
And it's really good or bad, not really a fair year to evaluate. Look at, again, sometimes arguments are so simple. Sometimes they can be so simple. Look at what he did in the World Series on the biggest stage against the best team in baseball. Sometimes arguments are just that simple. Sometimes they are. A lot of times they're not. This argument is that simple. This guy was an ace. An ace. And I've been one of his toughest critics, man. I have been. Sometimes I hate when you defend him so much because I think he has a lot of flaws. Sometimes I think when he goes out there, he gets in his own head and his body language sucks and he really frustrates me. But you want to talk about a guy who's dialed in and knows how to win? That's the guy I saw in Game 5. I'm sorry.
It's frustrating, man. It really is, because the losing now causes a lot of irrationality out of the fans. And I get it, but we're all sitting here. We're all frustrated. We all wanted it to end differently. But trying to come up with reasons why the Yankees shouldn't bring back Gerrit Cole is just ridiculous. It's on a different level that I can't even bring myself to.
There's so much more to focus our energy, to spend our energy on.
You think,
man,
the Yankees are going to say, oh, see you later, Gerrit Cole, and then turn around and give Corbin Burns $250 million? Right. It's like, not going to happen.
Like, come on.
And he's been a face of it. He's turned into one of the faces of his franchise. I can't see it happening, man. I really can't. And if it does, like I said, man, just shut it down. Just shut it down.
If it does, this team is going in a direction that even I didn't see coming.
You really think the Yankees are going to let Gerrit Cole walk out the door and then hand over $600 million to Juan Soto? I can't get there. Jonathan Alvarez, can you believe there are fans that actually think the Yankees should let Cole walk because he doesn't cover first base? People are ridiculous. Yeah. I agree with you 100%. I mean, you have no argument for it. You really don't, man. I mean, this guy shoved down the stretch this year. Okay, game one against the Royals wasn't great. Okay, I can't defend that. He could have been better. But it was an up and down postseason. But when it came to nut cutting time, when the Yankees had a chance to clinch the ALDS, who threw a big game?
Our boy.
When you waited 5 years for this guy to be on the mound in the World Series, who showed up?
Our boy.
So there you go. And if you're that worried about his elbow, don't sign any pitcher. Don't sign anybody. You should never invest into a pitcher if you're worried about their elbows.
Yeah, especially nowadays.
You know, this is where I get aggravated, is because fans sit there and worry about money. What are you worried about money for?
Not your money.
What are you worried about it? If Hal's going to put a cap on this team, that's a Hal problem. Don't sit there and make excuses for them. Well, they can't. Yeah, they can. The Yankees can afford to do what... I guess we got a new sub, okay?
Okay.
I guess... that throws me off my game. We can afford to do whatever we want. And you have to look at it just logically right now, right? Okay, the Yankees don't want to hit this certain tier of luxury tax. Fine. There's a ton of money coming off the books this year. And Tommy Kingley and Clay Holmes, right? And other guys that Gleyber Torres, right? Guys making money that you don't have to bring back. Then look at your catchers. Starting catchers this year is going to make $800,000. Your starting shortstop this year is going to make $800,000. If you were paying Verdugo $10, $11 million, you're going to replace that with Jason Dominguez, who's going to make $800,000. Your closer is going to make $2.5 million this year. There's money. You don't think you can get something for Nestor Cortez? He's going to make $10, $11 million in arbitration this year. You trade him for something, a minor leaguer. And I agree with Pete. If you can move Stroman, you move him. I don't know who's going to want him. But if you can save a couple million dollars there by moving him, you do that.
Yeah, I mean, you want to look at money and complain about money and so on and so forth. Start looking at the money that was spent on guys who didn't play one inning on this team in the postseason.
Yeah, Ernest, again, Ernest, thank you. Fried, Snell, Flaherty, cheaper than Cole, but I'd keep Cole. Yeah, because he's better. He's better than all those guys. I'm not saying that you don't go out there and try to acquire more starting pitching.
Ernest kind of looks like Fred.
He does, now you mention it.
Wow.
You. I'm not saying that you don't maybe try to. All right, Cole comes back. We'll put that as Cole, Rodon, Schmidt, Heel, Nestor. If you don't make it, that's your rotation if you don't trade anybody.
If you do trade someone, what about Stroman?
There you go.
So you have to trade one of them.
Somebody's got to get traded. But you already have six starters on this team.
Yeah. Yeah, look, I know Heel had his issues, but I think this guy deserves a spot.
And I think he did his job phenomenally in the postseason.
He really did. He really did.
So look,
they won that. That's the one game they won this year.
And I think
in the World Series.
And I think because the Yankees were starting to pull away there in that game, Boone got cute and tried to steal some outs with him in the fifth inning, and he got
right.
That's when he got nicked up a little bit.
Yeah.
But you were really only looking for four innings out of him in that game, and they got it.
Of course.
So I don't know, man. I'm really just sitting here frustrated because we lost, and now I'm frustrated because the fans are losing their friggin' minds. It's. Because now we move to Juan Soto, right? And I'm just sick and tired already. We're 3 days into free agency here. And, you know, you got people saying, oh, you shouldn't break the bank for Juan Soto. Yeah, first of all, you have to. You have to. I mean, because outside of Giancarlo Stanton, who showed up this postseason?
Seriously.
And, okay. Judge, I got no defense of Aaron Judge in this postseason. I really don't. There's nothing to defend. He was terrible. And when he started to come around with the bat late in game four into game five, he has the most inexcusable error imaginable. Where you can live with him striking out 50% of the time as long as he makes plays out there, which he had been.
Which the inning before makes one of the most spectacular plays you'll ever see.
So, yeah, you can't excuse anything that he did out there.
Nope.
But you also have to get to the postseason, which this guy just had one of the greatest statistical seasons ever and did that with Juan Soto hitting in front of him, who also had a career year hitting with Aaron Judge hitting behind him. And you want to break that up for what, money?
Right.
That's your reasoning for wanting to break that up. Smart. It's definitely a logical explanation. Or here's my favorite. Here's really what my favorite one is. We can spread the money around. We can get three players for what it costs to get Juan Soto.
Nice.
Yeah, but guess what? Three doesn't equal one.
Literally.
Juan Soto is elite. elite. You just witnessed the greatest tag team that you've probably seen in baseball since what? You want to say Manny and David Ortiz?
Definitely.
And you can argue statistically the Judge and Soto were better. And yeah, okay, save me the postseason. I'm talking about the regular season right now. You can argue that they were better. In my lifetime, I cannot think of another duo, except for maybe Manny and Ortiz, that rivals what Judge and Soto did in the regular season this year. And again, you guys in the chat, I want this one over that one. I want, when talking about, why are you even fucking debating who you'd rather have over Soto or Cole? You can have both of them. It's like Halloween right now. My daughter wants Starburst and she wants candy. And my wife's like, well, you got to pick. Well, guess what? As Yankee fans, you can have your Starburst and your fucking chocolate bar.
But hold on a second, because I gotta stop you. Realistically, yes. But I'm sorry. I have to defend the fans a little bit because this organization hasn't given us that in how long? They haven't given us get whoever you want.
But time out. I'm not asking them to go out and sign more superstars. I'm just asking them to bring back the ones that were on the team this year.
Yes. But what I'm saying is this fan base is a little reserved because they see signing Juan Soto, not just of signing Juan Soto, but being handcuffed now for however many years because this team refuses to go over the luxury tax. And I'm not even blaming Hal here because you guys, again, we say this a million times, you want to call him cheap. Guy is one of the highest payrolls in baseball. It's just about where we spend the money. So if the argument is where we spend the money, guys, how could you argue spending it on Juan Soto? The problem isn't how much money we spend, it's what we spend it on. And when you have a guy like Juan Soto who's lurking, sitting in the wings, that's a no-brainer. That's an easy choice. So I get where you're coming from, Christian, but also I get where some fans are coming from, like feeling like they have to decide this or this, because that's what we've lived through for the last 5-6 years.
Yeah, but I'm not. Otani's not on the market. Let's just use him as an example. Yeah, He's not on the market where you'd have to make that decision. I'm asking the Yankees to just do what they did this year. And then
make the no-brainer moves.
And then supplement the team with players that have these fundamentals.
Right.
Here.
Make the no-brainer moves.
Got another
super chat.
Yeah. Study teacher brought said the Dodgers have no need for Soto, in my opinion. They won a World Series and don't have a $600 million need to get better. The Yankees, on the other hand, absolutely do. Well, yes, we know this. And I think that the Yankees or Soto's contract will probably be in the $45 million range because the whole present-day value of Ohtani is like in the $42 million range, and that's supposedly what he wants to beat. They paid him $31 million this year. So you take that plus what you paid for Verdugo, that's how you get to 45.
Yeah.
And you're replacing Verdugo with a guy that's going to make $800,000 this year.
Right.
You had two home games in the ALDS. You had two home games in the ALCS. You had three home games in the World Series. So I don't want to hear fuck about revenue and money this year.
Yep.
How much did you like hearing the turnstiles churn in the World Series this year?
Yep. I think we have to address this. And it's something that, I'll be honest with you, Michael, I've never been a huge fan of Michael Kay. And over this, especially over the postseason, when you get these national broadcast guys, who I got to say, up until the World Series, weren't terrible. Like, other than Costas, obviously. And so I guess I'm talking ALCS wasn't terrible. I thought Brian Anderson did a great job.
He did an excellent job.
I actually think the Dodgers broadcaster, even though he's the Dodgers broadcaster, did a really good job too. John Smoltz is.
I think he's good. He's very good technically. I just don't like his voice.
Fine, but I thought he did a good job. I didn't think he was partial to one team or another.
No, I think he squeezed himself, though, after Verdugo struck out in game five.
But I wasn't there for that.
Yeah, well.
I didn't hear that. I was there
for. But in fairness, I mean, it's that's fine. If you're going to let it go at that moment.
My ultimate point here is that sometimes when you listen to these other guys, you have a different appreciation for the guys that you listen to 162 games, almost 162 games out of the year. And so through this postseason, I really sat back and I said, you know what? I might not like Michael Kay. I know he's a Yankee, apologist. He's part of the YPM. But you know what? Michael Kay, for what he does, is legendary. I mean, we'll remember Michael Kay for as long as we're alive, right? He's a voice that, like him or not, he's just Michael Kay. I mean, he's our guy. And I started to respect him a little bit.
Hold on. Would you rather have Pete Alonso, Alex Bregman, and Anthony Santander instead of Juan Soto?
No.
Okay. So thank you.
Okay. So that being said, I was actually kind of starting to lean towards, like, you know what? I respect Michael Kay. And then, I don't know if you heard it, YPM is what we call the Yankee propaganda machine. That's something we've coined. I'm sure it'll go viral now. We won't get any credit for it. The YPM is the Yankee propaganda.
No, I'm not sitting on anything. I stand by what I just said. I'd rather have Juan Soto than those three players.
Absolutely. Not even a question. Just please go to bed. So then Michael Kay does this thing yesterday, maybe the day before. I don't know. Where he literally talks about Juan Soto like he's some piece of shit. And part of me is like really angry at Michael Kay. And the other part of me is like, is this the YPM spinning the machine here? Because Susan Waldman was saying something about how you might not want to bring back Juan Soto, not a great right fielder. And then Michael Kay's ripping him. Guess this season meant nothing to him. Guess the fans cheering meant nothing.
Did you hear it in full context?
Yes, I did. And I know what you're going to say. I completely get what you're going to say. But if you listen to one part of it, he is ripping Juan Soto.
Yes.
And I didn't appreciate it. And I get what a part of me gets it. Like, Juan Soto could have just not talked about it at the time. But yeah. He's also talking about Juan Soto like he's a piece of shit.
Yeah, the Nats lost Harper and won a World Series. Who was on that team? Oh, wait.
I think it was that kid, Juan Soto. Fucking Jesus.
Look, yeah, you know what?
It was just the way he said it. When I was just starting to have a little respect for him, he said it like he's some fucking pompous ass, better than everyone. Juan Soto's a piece of shit. I get it. It didn't feel right.
Juan Soto said after, it's not what fans want to hear right after a crushing loss to end the World Series. It's not what fans want to hear. Okay. It's not what I want to hear, but you know what?
Of course, you know
what it means to me? It means dick to me, because the only thing that's going to matter to anything that Juan Soto says after game five to now is if he's coming back or not. And all that is going to do is be predicated on whether or not Hal Steinbrenner ponies up here. That's it. Nobody has an advantage. Yeah. What do you think he's going to go out there and say, yeah, I love after at that point when he's being asked about it. We all want to feel warm and fuzzy and say, oh, I loved it here. It was the best year of my career.
I'm begging that they give me a lot of money.
I'm begging them to just, you know, I'll take 40 cents on the dollar to come back. That, right. Because that's what Scott Boras hears, and that's what Hal Steinbrenner is going to hear when he says something like that.
Yep.
And you know what? A lot of, you know, Judge, Cole, because they went through the free agency process, these guys were like, I'm happy for him. I want him to do what's best for his family. Shut up. You know, I love you, both of you, but shut up, please, okay? But Stanton, who didn't go through the free agency process, because remember, he got extended in his arbitration years with Miami and then traded here, said, I don't know. I never gone through that. I want him to come back with us.
Yeah. You got to love Stanton, dude. One quick pivot real quick. One thing about Stanton that I'll say, we've said this every single year going into the postseason, that he's been the Yankee hero in the postseason. But they haven't been around, they weren't around long enough in the postseason for fans to truly appreciate it. Man, can you imagine a fan not appreciating what Giancarlo Stanton did, seeing this many games, him doing it night in, night out?
He set a Yankee record for home runs in a postseason.
I mean, it was just unbelievable. If you don't have a different level of appreciation for Giancarlo Stanton at this point, you're lost. I fell in love with this guy.
Look, bro, again, after game five, people were tweeting, we got to ride this hot streak into trading Giancarlo Stanton while we can.
What?
Yeah, I heard. Those are some of the takes. So I tell you, losing brings out the irrationality.
And is fine. If you want to be irrational, we all cope with things differently.
Yeah, but, you know, don't be stupid. I mean, who knows if we even get past Kansas City without Giancarlo Stanton?
You probably don't.
I don't know, man. I just think that after, and I hate doing this, I'm getting a pit in my stomach saying this, after watching Aaron Judge just literally shit himself for 99% of this postseason, and then to watch Giancarlo Stanton just do the complete opposite, you have to have a higher appreciation of this guy.
You have to.
And just say, you know what? I get frustrated with him. He can't run. He's going to miss 40 to 50 games, but I know when the calendar ticks over to October 1st, he's going to be the one standing in the batter. He's going to be the guy I have the most confidence in standing in that batter's box.
Yep. And quick note on MLB Underground, we've officially hit 38,000.
Okay, 38K. Subs. Okay. That's all thanks to you fans. We appreciate that very much. So the long off season starts here, man. And I did want to make this point about Juan Soto because, yes, it's going to sting if he leaves, especially over money. If there's a number that the Yankees draw a line in the sand in, you're going to be pissed. I don't care if it's 700 and the Mets go to 701. You should be mad about that.
Yep.
But it's not. It's still trying, and I want to have a logical conversation with you, and we can end the show here because next week is going to be really another big show. Week one to keep them, dump them, and we'll get a lot into the construction of this team moving forward after that with that show. It's still trying to fit a square peg in a round hole with Juan Soto because the Yankees have to get Aaron. I really believe that they have to get him out of center field. He's going to be 33 years old next year. I really think the best constructed Yankee team isn't with Aaron Judge in center field. Now, I'll ask you couple questions first. Let's say Soto does come back. In the negotiations, are you trying to sell him on moving to first base?
Soto?
Yeah.
No.
Okay. Soto comes back only, he says, I'm coming back, but only as an outfielder. That's non-negotiable, right?
Okay.
Do you go to Aaron Judge and say, Aaron? Mm-hmm. You thinking about picking up a first baseman's glove in spring training?
Yep.
Because we need a first baseman now.
I personally think 2025, the best constructed team has Aaron Judge at first base. It sounds crazy, but I think Aaron Judge is talented enough to take this offseason. It's a tall order. Like, everyone thinks, we joke about this all the time, a guy sucks, they're like, I'll throw him at first base. We saw how valuable first base is. I know Rizzo was a little underwhelming defensively at first base in the postseason, but just overall, having a guy at first base who's not nearly the defender as Rizzo cost us a lot of runs and extra outs this year. So we see how valuable it is defensively, and it's a tall order, man. But if anyone can do it, I think it's Aaron Judge. And I think people give him a lot of shit for being in center field. I think he's a great center fielder.
Man, he's if you just look at his metrics, he's terrible. But I.
But what metrics, though?
Defensive run saves, outs above average, shit like that. You know, his range out there. But also, we watched him play 180 games out there this year. I don't think.
Look, my bigger
fifth inning
argument,
in game five aside, Aaron Judge playing center field did not cost the Yankees game.
Didn't make an error all year. So the better argument for me is Aaron Judge is what, 6'8"?
Yeah, something like
he's
that.
He's a big dude.
6'7".
I think he's 6'8".
I think one famously ranted on an umpire that he's 6'7".
Okay. The better argument, if you want to debate it with me, is not that he's a liability in the outfield, but more that he's a liability in the outfield for injury. He's a big guy.
All right, there we go. Another slug. Okay.
I don't want him in the outfield much longer.
Well,
somebody
in the chat said he'll get injured more at first base.
No, he won't. No. Look, if Aaron Judge feels like he can do it, and I'm sure he'll be the first person to tell you that he can, you got to at least try it. And think about what that solves for you in that just in a bubble. The Yankees haven't had.
You think he can stretch to get those throws?
Yeah. Yes.
Do the splits at first?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm just asking.
He doesn't look like a first baseman. That's my only issue.
Why? Because he's so big?
Because he looks like a caveman. He's a monster. He looks like a center fielder to me. But man, it solves a lot of issues.
You
the Yankees need
first
a power
base.
Bat at first.
I mean, I can't disagree with it at this point. It's just then it comes down to, is Trent Grisham just a stopgap in center field for this year, for 25? You put Dominguez in left? That's something is that something you go with?
No, I think you need to get someone.
Okay, no, I'm asking you a question here.
Yeah, I still think I can't have Trent Grisham out there as my starting center fielder. I'm sorry. People want to pretend they love him. They're like, Trent Grisham should have been in here. He's got the pop in his back. Just be quiet. You don't like Trent Grisham. He's really not good.
Or do you go try to get a guy like Christian Walker to play first base
yes.
and then Judge plays
well, left. That's a great move, too.
No, Ernest, please, dude. I love the super chats tonight. Aaron Judge cannot play fucking third base, bro. Come on. Now we're
Come on.
Now we're way on the other end of the pool here.
Yeah. Come on.
All right, so what about Judge left field?
I don't like him, and I don't love him.
You would rather
left.
Him play center next year?
Yes,
because if you go
in center.
But if you go and sign Christian Walker, it's going to be a multi-year deal. So you're committing to Judge in center field for another couple of years here.
Fine.
34, 35.
Good.
Center.
Perfect.
You don't. Okay. You know, I don't love it.
I don't hate it. If you're putting a gun to my head here and saying they're not going to go out and get a Christian Walker, then I think the best move is to move Judge to first. But if you're telling me Christian Walker's on the table here, it's a no-brainer.
So you go Soto, Judge, Dominguez is how you'd go?
Yes. Yeah. For as many games as you possibly can.
And then obviously, you know, worst case scenario, they don't bring back Soto, then Judge goes to right field, and I think everybody does feel a little bit better about that.
Yes.
But assuming Soto comes back, you're the Yankees. You're asking Aaron Judge to move to first base.
Yeah, if you have to.
Well, you're going to have to do something, bro, because I don't like Aaron Judge taxing himself as much as he did in center field this year. I know it was only a handful of games, if that. I didn't like the way he looked playing left field. And if Soto's here, Soto's got to play right field. I mean, Soto's a gold glove finalist. Because of the amount of assists that he had, not
yeah,
because of the
just
way
he's a liability out there.
But you have to make that fucking trade.
Yeah,
and that's another thing. People are like, "Oh, he sucks as an outfielder." Okay.
Yeah, great. Okay. Did you see what he did at the plate?
I don't know, man. There's a lot. There's just so we could spend another 2 hours here talking, and I don't know. Do you feel any better about the loss after the show tonight?
No, I usually do, but tonight I don't, and not in the same way. Like, typically, it's just such a painful loss. The season's over. This was a little different. I don't know. That scouting report leaking really hit me a different way. But I'll say this. One thing that really hit me hard and that we didn't touch on this show, but it's not anything that Yankee fans want to hear, but it's something that needs to be said. At the end of the day, this is just a game, and it's a bunch of grown men playing a kid's sport. And if one thing can be true about the Yankees, and I know it doesn't make anything better, and it's not meant to make us feel better. Actually, it makes it hurt a little more. If there's one thing I learned about this team throughout the postseason, it's how close they were and how much this team loved each other and how much they loved winning together. And that's something that, if you've ever played on a competitive team and you just have that great chemistry, how much it hurts and stings for a season to end the way it did. And to me, it was like, if any team was going to win it, I wanted it to be this group. I felt like they were so close, and they were truly heartbroken. Like, did you watch Anthony Volpe's post-game interview?
I didn't watch anything after the final was made.
The kid couldn't even get a sentence out. This team was heartbroken, in more heartbroken than I've seen in recent years. And it sticks with you, man. This, we will never, ever, I think for the rest of our lives, so long as we love this team, we will never forget the fifth inning of Game 5. It will just never. I can't tell you. Like, I try and explain this to people, and I said it at the beginning of the show. Being there with my son was just something that was so incredible. I wouldn't trade it for anything in the world. It's something that I will take with me to my grave. But also, I can't get the image of Aaron Judge dropping the ball out of my head. I can't get being in the stadium and the emotion of when that ground ball is hit to Anthony Rizzo and you're thinking Gerrit Cole got out of it unscathed and he just doesn't run to first and Gerrit Cole doesn't cover. I can't explain how a memory can be so unbelievably memorable for two completely separate reasons. I will always have this side of it, the good side, but I will also always have the bad side. And the bad side will never outweigh the good side, not even close, but it's still there and it's still in the back of my mind. So it's been really, really difficult to cope with. Yeah, I guess, yeah, maybe I do feel a little better. But man, what a tough way to go out.
I think now that we kind of put the pin in the season here, in the next episode, we'll be looking forward to who we want on the team, who we don't want on the team, because that's what keep them, dump them is really all about. And now that the roster moves have started, I won't say that I'm over this, but I'm looking forward to 2025 now.
Yeah, here's one, not to cut you off, but I'm glad you brought that up, because that's how I feel right now, is kind of the opposite. For some reason, why I'm being held back is because typically I'm like over it and I'm ready to look forward. And for some reason, I'm not there yet. I'm not at a point where I'm like excited to look into 2025 yet. I'm still so caught up right now. And typically I'm over it by now and I'm ready to look forward and be excited for next year.
I don't know, man. I guess because you felt the energy of what was going on in the stadium, maybe. It's still in, you know, it's like a bad cold that just won't go away and you still
maybe
feel the effects of it. You still got like the sniffles, and you're
like, are you excited for opening day 2025 right now?
No, and I said this, and I'm going to say this again. I really was going to go to opening day if they won the World Series. I was going 100%.
But are you excited, like in your head, like let's just get to 2025?
Well, I will answer that in 1 second.
Sorry.
I will not be attending opening day this year because I refuse to see the Yankees get awarded a participation trophy. I refuse to see the Yankees be celebrated as a second place team because they'll still get their American League championship rings. There'll still be a little pomp and circumstance with that. And I know I said earlier in the show that I still appreciate and will keep that pennant with me and something that will always be special. I don't need to see them be celebrated for it next year. That's for this year. Next year, we didn't win. It's time to turn the page.
Right.
Am I ready? Am I like excited for opening day? Yeah. You want to know why, bro? Because there's no baseball now. I just want to get back to that. I want to get back to what we do every single day. I want
to
get
excited, though, to have a little stretch of just being able to relax.
You know, when I said this after one of my subsequent tweets, I think I said it after the Yankees blew the 5-0 lead, is that I'm a Giants fan, all right, but I'm applauding them for being terrible again this year because I cannot physically handle being stressed out about sports again until March. I can't physically handle that.
Right.
I'll put the game on tomorrow. If they win, they win. They lose, they lose. It's not going to affect my daily, you know, my mood tomorrow. I can't physically handle getting stressed out watching sports anymore. Okay. Right. I need that, you know, so, but I'll say this and I'll end the show on this and you can, you know, say your piece too after you're done here is that being a baseball fan is such a long grind. This is every single day from the end of March and thankfully, and yeah, I'm going to say thankfully, it lasted until the end of October this year because last year it didn't even leak into October. We got to the World Series this year. You cannot take for granted these appearances in the World Series. You can't take for granted the emotions that you felt leading up to the World Series. This is an emotional investment into a group of men that don't know you from a hole in the wall.
Mm-hmm.
That you put your heart and soul into rooting for every single day for 7 months. And that's why it's harder to get over this as opposed to when the Giants lose. That's a 16, 17 week commitment once a week. Okay. You know, they've been through some really shitty losses and some really bad playoff performances through the course of my lifetime. And it's not near the investment that you put into being a baseball fan. That's why these sting worse. That's why this lasts with you for such a long time is because you dump everything into this team. And it does feel like this is almost part of your family because you are watching them day in and day out for 180 days in the regular season. And then another month in the postseason. It's tough to say goodbye. And we said goodbye in the most painful way possible this year is that I don't know. I don't have a crystal ball to say the Yankees could have forced a game 7, but we should have been playing baseball last night. The Yankees should have been on the mat. The Yankees should have been on the field in LA last night for a game 6 with the Dodgers having tight buttholes, knowing that they were up 3-0 and now they're back home facing the New York Yankees with a red hot Aaron Judge. The one thing they didn't want to see in this World Series. And they blew it. And they're off, you know, on vacation, moving on, making business decisions. And we're still here left with the emotions and the pain of watching that happen. Because, again, I said this in a previous episode, we don't control any of this. We put all our emotions into it and we control none of it. It's crazy when you think about it. So that feeling, that high that we had, I told you about this. And that's why 2024 will always be a special season to me. And if you don't want to hear it, I don't care. I'm going to take silver linings out of this. Chris, you'll never, I wish that to God that you do, But you might never get to take your son to a Yankee World Series game ever. And you did. That's got to be a bucket list moment for any dad.
Beyond a bucket list moment.
Regardless of what happened, the team that you and your son love and have bonded over, you went to go see them play in the World Series.
Insane.
How can you ever forget that memory? Oh, this is all I wanted in life was to take my daughter to Yankee Stadium. I did that this year. In a year, they got to the World Series. This year will always be special to me. That game against the Rockies that I took, one of the games against the Rockies that I took her to when it was Judge Soto and Stan, they hit three home runs in a row and almost yeah. threw her through the fucking roof.
Yeah.
I told you I'm going to be chasing that feeling forever. Forever I'll be chasing that feeling. And that's why being a fan of this team is so special. And that's why, yeah, now it's time to turn the page and that you want to get to 2025 because you're like a drug addict. This is like, you know, you're going to be chasing that feeling. And that's why we're going to sit here and be frustrated and mad over every single little report that comes out over the course of this offseason. Juan Soto met with the Mets. Fuck. He's going to. And it could mean nothing. It could mean everything. But we're going to freak out over it.
Yeah.
Because we know what we saw. We know that we're going to chase that high of watching Juan Soto and Aaron Judge play 162 games together again. And we're going to chase every little special moment that we had with our family and our friends watching this team get to a World Series. And that's what a key, something that I was just mentioning over and over again, is that so much changed in 15 years, that getting to the World Series this year was special. And it didn't end the way that we wanted to. And so ultimately it was a failure of a season. But it doesn't mean that it's not a special season. And it's not a season that we're going to be chasing these highs that we had for the rest of our lives if they never get back there. So learn to take, you know, maybe if I was 21 and not 41, I wouldn't be speaking like this. But learn to appreciate what we got this year.
Yeah.
Because it might not ever happen again. And yeah, we got to get better. We got to improve. I'm not happy that they lost, but I'm happy for the journey they took me on this year. And that's basically the simplest way that I can say it.
Yeah, I'll be short and sweet. I don't want to. I know I keep bringing up my son and going to the game, and I'm sure it's boring for people, but if you're not a dad, it's just something that I can't put into words. Not just going to the game, but just bonding over the sport. And we showed up to game five. We parked and we got out, and my son loves tailgating. He loves to have like a sub in the parking lot, and he drinks a seltzer or soda, whatever he wants. And we were getting ready to go in, and he had like his little bat with him, and he looks at me and goes, "Daddy, who's this?" And he starts doing this like perfect Soto batting stance. And he's like, "Who's this?" And I'm like, "Rizzo." And he's going through the entire order and he's perfect. And I'm just sitting there, not just amazed that my 7-year-old son knows every single batting stance of every player, but I'm sitting there going, this kid's obsessed. It's not just about my heart breaking anymore. If this team loses, it's not just about what I feel anymore. We got into the stadium and the game started, and man, if they were going to lose, I'm grateful for the first four innings they gave us, because that excitement and that moment, those moments were just something I just will never, ever forget. But after that fifth inning, I leaned over to my son and I said, "Win or lose, this is the greatest night of my life. Always will be." And then they lose. He's excited the whole game. He's on his feet. Like, the whole section's laughing. They're like, "Who is this little kid who's just nonstop?" We're all sitting back in our seats slumped after they give up a 5-run lead, and he's up on his feet screaming. And they're all laughing. "Who is this kid?"
And at the end of the game, they're all saying they're upset. Not just the Yankees lost, they're upset for Jack. That's the whole section saying it. And after the team loses, he's finally slumped in his seat. It was like the adrenaline was pulled from him. And my heart can break as much as it wants, but to see them break his heart is something that's really difficult. He was actually told me, he said he was more upset that the game was over than that they lost, because he just wanted to stay there for as long as we possibly could. But it just made me realize that this just isn't a game. You know, my dad jokes about it. My father-in-law jokes about it a lot. You still have to wake up and go to work tomorrow. And I get that. But I'll never, ever get there. I'll never be there mentally. I never will be, because it's not just a game to me. I don't watch anything else. I don't pour my heart into anything else. This isn't just a game to me, especially now. I had it with my dad, and now I have it with my son. This is everything. You have to enjoy the little things in life, right? This is the littlest, this is the biggest little thing that I focus on. And now I get to share that with my son. And nothing will, I don't care if they lost that game 10 out of 10 times. Nothing will take this season away from me and him in this postseason, watching every single pitch with him. And so, yeah, it sucks. And yeah, my heart is still hurting. But you know what? At the end of the day, win or lose, we watch this team for entertainment and for bonding purposes with our families. And they gave us that more than we've had in 15 years. And for that, I will always, always, always be grateful to this team.
All right. Well, you know, there's not really much else to say after that. You know, I know a lot of the times we can come on here and be rough and, you know, not be the friendliest two guys, but at the end of the day here, as you like to say, we are dads, and we do have that other side to us. And, you know, we do look at things differently through a different prism. So, you know, if you can't get past how it ended, you know, that's fair. And I understand that like I said, man, there are always going to be things that made this 2024 season special. And regardless of how it ended, it's not going to tarnish those memories for me. So now we move on to 2025. And how do the Yankees get back to the World Series? Because, you know, these were first time things here in 2024. First time we got to go through this with our kids, right? First time with this team. So, you know, maybe you do give them a little bit of a pass for that, right? There's no pass next year.
Right.
There's no, it's okay, they made it type shit, right? Now you got to figure out how to complete the job. Now you got to figure out how to be the best team in baseball, about how that you're not going to go out there and beat yourselves in the World Series. That's what this is about now. So that's what next week is. Next week is the beginning of us looking at how the Yankees can do that. Live on Thursday. We're going to be back here on Thursdays throughout the month of November, live at 8:30 on NYYU. So you'll know where we'll be at all times. Week one is keep them, dump them is next Thursday. If you don't follow us on Twitter, please do so at NYYST_podcast. I'll start running the polls on Monday of the players that we'll be discussing. And yes, Aaron Boone will be discussed. I'll just give a spoiler alert. He will definitely be on the list and on the list for Thursday's episode. We will probably have some type of news on Aaron Boone before Thursday's episode, because we don't have to get into this. I just want to say this real quick, is that I didn't know this. Apparently, this was just something that Boone slipped in during one of the pressers, is that the Yankees do hold a option on him for 2025. So he's not exactly a free agent here. So you'd expect some sort of news about his contractual status in the coming days here.
Yeah.
So I think I would be shocked if that wasn't a, you know, the election is Tuesday. People talking about landslides, not landslides. I'd be stunned if that wasn't a landslide in one direction.
Yep.
So again, man, for a lot of reasons, this was a very successful season, not only for the Yankees on the field, but for NYYST and NYY Underground as entities, as a podcast, as a channel here. And we couldn't have done it without you. So we want to thank you. Again, it didn't end the way we wanted it to, but we appreciate all the love and support you guys have given us throughout the course of the season. It made this season and this run to the World Series and getting to cover a World Series. You know, that's another thing we didn't talk about. You know, we waited since 2017. We, you know, again, didn't happen, didn't end the way we wanted to, but we got to cover a World Series, man. And yeah. Again, there's another reason we put a lot of blood, sweat, and tears in this.
Hell
thing.
Yeah.
And that's another reason why I always have a special appreciation for this, is that it almost felt like all of our hard work finally paid off, is that we got to carry this into a World Series here. So, again, that's, you know, we're still here because of you guys. We love you. We appreciate your support. And if you haven't done so already, you're still in the chat here. Thank you for joining us on a Saturday night. Like and subscribe here. We're now over 38,000 subscribers on YouTube.
Yeah, thank you to Pete.
Yeah, thank
you, Jira, Pete, and everyone else everybody. Behind the scenes.
Absolutely. We're not here without you guys either, so thank you. Please subscribe to the NYYST podcast on your favorite podcast platform, helping us out a lot by doing that. So whatever it is that you use, just search NYYST, pop it up, hit subscribe. You'll be doing us a huge favor. Thank you very much. And thank you very much for listening and watching episode 435. Chris, say goodbye.
Peace. Can't make a promise, but I do my best. 25 sitting on 25 racks. Just got started, no, we ain't done yet. But a new crib, that's a goddamn flex. Goddamn flex. Sign that check. Told them last year that I've been up next. Can't take calls, but I send that text. From way down to